In the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, all praise be to Allah, we praise Him, we seek His help and ask for His guidance, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from the evil of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to lead astray, and whomsoever Allah permits to go astray, there is none to guide them. And I bear witness that none is worthy of worship but Allah alone without partner. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, is Allah's chosen messenger. And after that, indeed the most truthful speech is the speech of Allah, the Quran. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of the affairs are the newly introduced matters into Allah's religion. For every one of these is a bid'ah, an innovation in the deen. And every bid'ah is misguidance, and all misguidance leads to the fire of hell.
السؤال المطروح في هذه المحاضرة هو من هم العلماء الذين تسعد الأمة بهم؟ سنقول وبالله التوفيق أن العلماء جمع عالم، العلماء جمع عالم، والعالم اسم فاعل من العلم، إذن هي نسبة إلى العلم. فما هو العلم الذي حصلوه حتى صاروا أهلا له؟
The Sheikh began by saying that today's topic is concerning the topic of who are the scholars, or who are the scholars of today. And these are scholars through whom this ummah will rise and attain success. And he says, we say, and that success is from Allah alone, that the ulama is the plural of the word alim, and that alim is the word which stands or is linked to the word ilm. So in other words, a scholar or an alim is that which is related to knowledge and acquiring knowledge. And then he said, what is knowledge? Knowledge is that which is acquired and gathered until one becomes from among the people of knowledge.
ونحن بهذا التقديم لا نريد أن نضع حدا، يعني تعريفا للعالم من تلقاء أنفسنا، بل نريد أن نستنتجه استنتاجا. بهذه المقدمة نحن لا نريد أن نضع تعريفا مسبقا للعالم، ولكن نريد أن نستنتج من هو العالم من خلال المقدمات التي نطرحها. فنقول العلم في كتاب الله وفي سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يطلق على أربعة أشياء. الأول علم التوحيد والعقيدة وما يتعلق بها، الدليل قول الله سبحانه وتعالى في سورة محمد: فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله. الأمر الثاني علم السنة النبوية والحديث النبوي وما يتعلق به. الدليل قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي أخرجه البخاري عندما سأله أبو هريرة من أسعد الناس بشفاعتك يا رسول الله، فقال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ما ظننت أحدا يسألني عن هذا العلم إلا أنت يا أبا هريرة لحرصك، ما ظننت أحدا أن يسألني عن هذا العلم إلا أنت يا أبا هريرة لحرصك. في رواية أخرى الحديث ما ظننت أحدا أن أحدا يسألني عن هذا الحديث إلا أنت يا أبا هريرة. فكلمة العلم هنا جاءت مقابل كلمة الحديث، كلمة العلم في الرواية الأولى جاءت مقابل كلمة الحديث في الرواية الثانية. إذا الحديث، الحديث إنه هو علم وهو فقه أيضا، لقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم نبر الله امرئا، نبر الله امرئا أي نبر الله وجهه، دعا الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لحامل الحديث نبر الله امرئا سمع مقالتي فحفظها فوعاها فأداها كما سمعها. فرب حامل فقه ليس بفقيه، ورب حامل فقه إلى من لا يفقه منه. ما هو الذي حمله هذا الإنسان؟ هو الحديث النبوي، يسمى الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فقها. إذا الحديث النبوي يسمى فقها ويسمى علما، ولذلك قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من يرد الله فيه خيرا يفقهه في الدين.
Sheikhson said that with this introduction, we don't wish to go into today about the details or going into the names by naming people of who are scholars, etc. So what we wish to do is set principles by which it can be judged. And that knowledge refers to that which is from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that this knowledge or scholarly knowledge is divided into four categories. The first is knowledge of Tawheed, of the oneness of Allah, and knowledge of Aqidah, of the beliefs of a Muslim. And he says that the proof of this is due to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Muhammad, Fa'alam annahu la ilaha illallah, which is the nearest meaning that have knowledge or know that there is none worthy of worship except Allah alone. And that the second type of knowledge is knowledge of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, or knowledge of Hadith and everything which relates to this. And the proof of this is due to a Hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari and narrated by Abu Hurairah, whereby Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that who, O Messenger of Allah, has most right to your intercession on the Day of Judgment? So who has most right to your intercession on the Day of Judgment? And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied that I do not know of anyone, this is just a rough meaning, that I do not know of anyone who has asked me concerning this except for you, O Abu Hurairah, and this is due to your desire and your desire for knowledge and your guarding towards it and protecting knowledge. And then in another narration the Sheikh says that the Prophet said that I roughly translate that I do not know anyone other than you, O Abu Hurairah, who strives for the knowledge of Hadith. This is just a very rough translation. And so what he said is that these two narrations, that in the second narration the Prophet ﷺ linked the word hadith with knowledge of the deen. And that anyone who studies the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, this is acquiring knowledge and acquiring fiqh of the deen, acquiring understanding of the deen. And that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said that whosoever Allah wishes good for, he gives him understanding of this religion.
الثالث الذي يطلق عليه العلم هو معرفة فضائل الأعمال والأوقات. وما أعد الله للمحسن ثوابا وللمسيء عقابا. والدليل على هذا قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: وقد سأل أبي بن كعب ما أي آية في كتاب الله أعظم. الرسول سأل أبي قائلا: أي آية في كتاب الله أعظم؟ قال أبي: الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، أي آية الكرسي. فماذا قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ ليهنك العلم أبا المنذر، أي هنيئا لك، هنيئا لك العلم يا أبا المنذر. أبا المنذر كنية أبي رضي الله عنه، يعني هنيئا لك العلم يا أبا المنذر. هنيئا هنيئا تبشير. أي الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يهنئه على هذا العلم. فماذا سأله الرسول؟ عن ماذا سأله؟ عن فضل آية الكرسي، عن منزلتها في كتاب الله، عن عظمها. إذا هذا أمر يتعلق بالفضيلة، بفضائل الشيء. وسماه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم علما. إذا معرفة فضائل الأشياء بالثواب، ومعرفة ما عبد الله المحسن من الثواب، وما عبد الله للمسيء من عقاب وعلم. ولذلك صنف العلماء كتب الترغيب والترهيب، مثل كتاب المنذري، الترغيب والترهيب للإمام المنذري، والترغيب والترهيب للإمام الأصفهاني. رابعا علم السلوك والأخلاق وما يصلح القلوب ويزكي النفوس. والدليل على هذا قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: أول علم يرفع الخشوع. أول علم يرفع الخشوع. حتى تدخل مسجد جماعة أو تدخل مسجد يصلون فيه جماعة فلا ترى رجلا خاشعا. أعوذ بالله من مضلات الهوى. أعوذ بالله من مضلات الهوى.
The third aspect of knowledge is related to fada'il al-a'mal, which is to do with the blessings and the rewards of various actions, i.e. that we should learn concerning what are the rewards for good deeds and for righteous people, and what are the punishments for various sins. And he said the proof of this is that the Prophet ﷺ, he asked one of his companions, Ubay ibn Ka'ab, that which is the greatest verse in the Quran. And Ubay ibn Ka'ab replied, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, which is the first, which is the beginning of آية الكرسي in Surah Al-Baqarah, that Allah, there is none, no deity worthy of worship except Him, and that He is the living and eternal source of existence. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Ubay ibn Ka'b gave this reply, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, may Allah preserve knowledge in your heart, O Abu Munzir. And Abu Munzir was the kunya of Ubay ibn Ka'b. Okay, and so what we learn why this knowledge is knowledge of the deen is because that the Prophet ﷺ asked him concerning this verse, and the Prophet ﷺ said that may Allah preserve knowledge in your heart, that this verse related to knowledge of Allah and related to the reward for the righteous and the punishment for the sinful ones is knowledge in the deen. And then he also mentioned that this is why many scholars of the past have written many books related to at-tarhib and tarhim. Related to excellence of rewards and punishment for evil deeds. And then the fourth thing which one should learn as part of knowledge is related to manners and the ways which one should follow, and to learning things which will set aright our hearts and will purify our souls. And the proof of this is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the first knowledge which will be taken away from the people is khushu, which is to do with fear of Allah and humbleness before Him. And again, this khushu, which is to do with matters of the heart and purifying our souls, where we have humility before Allah, that this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he considered it to be knowledge, because he said this is the first knowledge that will be taken away from the people to such an extent that when one enters the mosque to pray in congregations, they will not come across a single person who has khushu in their heart. And he mentioned that may Allah protect us from that, and we take some refuge in Him from that.
إذن يا أخوتي، العلم يطلق على أربع أشياء: علم العقائد، علم الفقه، وعلم السلوك والتزكية، وعلم فضائل ذلك. وعلم فضائل ذلك. إذن العالم هو العالم الذي يعرف هذه الأشياء، يعرف هذه الأشياء، يكون عنده علم العقيدة، عنده علم الفقه، عنده علم كيف يزكي النفوس، وعنده إيش معرفة ما عبد الله ابن محسن ثوابا، ومعرفة ما عبد الله المسيح عقابا.
Therefore, my dear brothers, knowledge is knowledge of aqidah, of belief, knowledge of fiqh, of hadith, and of understanding of the deen, and knowledge of purifying the heart and the soul, and knowledge of the reward for all of these things. And so an alim, a scholar, is somebody who is well qualified or well learned, who is knowledgeable in all of these above four matters. That is, he understands the belief of a Muslim, that he has understanding of the deen of ma'az al-fiqh and hadith, and he has knowledge of things which purify the hearts and the souls, and what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given as reward for righteous deeds and punishment for various sins.
ولذلك قال أهل العلم في تعريف العلم، ماذا قال العلماء الآن في تعريف العلم بعد أن عرفنا ما هو العلم؟ قال ابن القيم رحمه الله: العلم قال الله قال رسوله قال الصحابة ليس بالتمويه. ما هو التمويه؟ أي التحريف والتبليغ، نوه الشيء أي حرفه ودلسه. ما العلم أو ليس العلم نسبك في الخلاف جهالة أي تنسب الخلاف جهالة بين الرسول وبين رأي فقيه، أي ليس العلم أن تنسب الخلاف بين قول الرسول وقول الفقهاء، بل العلم أنك تقدم قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم على قول غيره.
Bearing this in mind, the Sheikh says that we should know what the people of knowledge have identified or recognized knowledge as being, how they classified knowledge. And he gives the saying of Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy upon him, who said that knowledge is qala Allah, that which Allah says, wa qala Rasul, that which his messenger said, and what his companions, may Allah be pleased with them, all said, without making any distortions to these or wrong interpretations, etc. So he says, look at how this fellow has classified it. What Allah says, his messenger says, and what the Sahaba says. And knowledge is not therefore putting the sayings or understandings of the fuqaha, of the scholars, over and above as the saying of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
وقال أيضا رحمه الله والعلم معرفة الهدى بدليله، العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله ما ذاك والتقليد والتويان، أي أن العلم أن تعرف الهدى بالدليل، وليس هذا يستوي مع التقليد وهو عدم معرفة الدليل بل هو اتباعهم بأقوال الناس أقوال الرجال.
And another saying of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah is that knowledge is having knowledge of guidance based upon evidence or with its evidence, knowing its proof, and that it is not blindly following the sayings of the people. So knowledge is knowledge of guidance based upon having the proof of that.
وقال الذهبي رحمه الله العلم قال الله قال رسوله والإجماع فاجهد فيه، أي العلم هو قول الله قول رسول الله وما أجمعت عليه الأمة، وحذار أي احذر من نصب الخلاف سفاهة بين الرسول وبين رأي فقيه، أي احذر ابتعد عن أن تنصب الخلاف بين قول الرسول وقول الله من جهة وقول الفقهاء والرجال من جهة أخرى.
Many quote the saying of Imam al-Zahabi, may Allah have mercy upon him, who also said that in knowledge is that which Allah says and his messenger says and the consensus, the agreement of the Ummah, and that to beware and to stay away from the sayings of the people from the point of view of putting those sayings over and above what Allah and his messenger or what the Ijma, the consensus of the Ummah has said.
وبذلك يتمخض وبذلك يتبين وبذلك يظهر أن العالم هو الذي يعرف كلام الله وكلام رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأقوال السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليهم المتعلقة بالعقيدة المتعلقة بالأحكام الشرعية المتعلقة بفضائل الأعمال المتعلقة بالسلوك وتزكية النفوس، ويستطيع أن يميز بين ما هو صحيح النسبة إلى الله وإلى رسوله وإلى السلف وما لا يصح نسبته إليهم، والله أعلم. ما لا يصح الذي ليس هو من أقوالهم.
And then, taking all this into account, a scholar is therefore one who has knowledge of Allah's book, who knows what Allah has said. I have studied the Quran well, and who knows the sayings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who knows the sayings of the Salaf, and that he knows these things, the Quran and the Sunnah and the sayings of the Salaf, with regard to the previous before mentioned matters, that is in regard to Aqidah, belief, with Ahkam al-Sharia, the various rulings and regulations of the Sharia, and with regard to matters which purify the heart and the soul and relate to character and method and ways, and that we take that which is authentic, the tracing back to the Prophet ﷺ and the sayings of the Salaf, that which is authentically related back to them. And that it is, as the brother just reminded me, that it is only a scholar who will know what authentically traces back to the sayings of the Prophet ﷺ and the sayings of the Sahaba and the Salaf in general.
الآن ننتقل إلى القاعدة الثانية. هذه القاعدة الأولى، ما هو العلم؟ والقاعدة الثانية، ما هي صفات العلماء الذين يعرفون هذه الأشياء، يعرفون هذا العلم ويتعلمونه؟ الصفة الأولى العمل، أنهم تعلموا هذا العلم وعرفوا هذه الدلائل وعملوا بها، لأن العلم دون عمل لا فائدة فيه. الدليل على هذا الحديث الصحيح، حديث زياد بن لبيد قال: نظر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في السماء، نظر السماء فقال: هذا أوان اختلاف العلم، أي هذا أوان رفع العلم، هذا أوان اختلاف العلم أي رفعه. فقال زياد بن لبيد: هذا كتاب الله، أي عندنا كتاب الله، والله لنقرأه يا رسول الله ونقرئه أبناءنا ونقرئه نساءنا. فقال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: تكرك أمك يا نبي يا زياد، دعاء من الرسول ولكنه دعاء محبب، تكرك أمك بمعنى دعاء، إن كنت لأظنك من أفقه أهل المدينة، يعني كنت أظنك أنك فقير. هذه التوراة والإنجيل عند النصارى واليهود فما تغني عنهم، أي هذه التوراة وهذه الإنجيل عند اليهود والنصارى فلم يعملوا بها، فما يغنت عنهم شيئا، لأنهم اليهود والنصارى عزكم الله مثل الحمار، يحمل الكتب الكثيرة ولكنه لا يعمل بها ولا يتفقه. إن الذين حملوا التوراة، كما قال في سورة الجمعة، إن الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا. إذا أول صفة يقول بها العلماء العمل بما علمهم الله.
Okay, so then the Sheikh said, that what we have discovered was the first principle. And the first principle is what constitutes ilm, what is knowledge. So now we want to move on to a second principle, and this is looking at what are the characteristics of the people of knowledge, or the characteristics of scholars. And he says the first one is amal, which is action, and that is that knowledge is learned only to be acted upon. And so they acquire this knowledge to implement it in their lives when they do so. And that knowledge which is acquired without acting upon it, then there is no benefit to be gained from it. And then he stated the hadith of Ziyad ibn Labid, whereby he said that the Prophet ﷺ looked to the sky and said that this knowledge is raised to the sky, or in other words, that knowledge will start to disappear, will be taken away from us. And then the Sahabi Ziyad, he said, so we have with us the book of Allah, and we will recite it, and we will teach it to our children and teach it to our women. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he made dua for this companion, and he said that I thought, or I used to think, that you are among the most knowledgeable of the people of Medina. And he said that this is the same as what happened to the Christians and the Jews. This is a very rough translation, that they had with them the Torah and the Injil, but how did it benefit them? In other words, they had their books, but the knowledge was raised from them. The meaning is that the knowledge was raised and taken away from them. Why? Is because they didn't act upon that knowledge. And so Allah compared the Christians and the Jews to, in the Quran, in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, He compared them to donkeys, saying that people who are like the Jews, having knowledge which they don't act upon, then, again roughly translating, that appears to have a heavy load of books on their back which cannot benefit them in any way, but rather weighs them down even further. And so he says this is the first of the characteristics of the people of knowledge, is that they act upon that knowledge which they learn.
والدليل على هذا قول الله سبحانه وتعالى قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين. قل يا محمد هذه طريقي. ما هي طريقي؟ أدعو إلى الله، أقوم بواجب الدعوة، بوظيفة الدعوة والبلاغ المبين. هذا البلاغ المبين والدعوة على بصيرة، أي على علم، ليس هذه وظيفتي فحسب، بل وظيفة أتباعي أنا ومن اتبعني. وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين. من هم أتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ من هم ورثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ الجواب هم العلماء. الدليل قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم العلماء ورثة الأنبياء، فإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما، ولكن ورث العلم، فمن أخذه فقد أخذ بحظ وافر.
The second characteristic of the scholars, of the people of knowledge, is that they take up the responsibility of calling and inviting people to Allah, a da'wah ila Allah. And this is due to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a rough translation, say, Allah says, or commands the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, this is my path, I call towards it, and also those who follow me, or follow my way, call towards it, and that I am not from among the idolaters. And so Allah here in this verse commands the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to add to the translation, I call upon it, upon knowledge, upon basira, upon insight and upon knowledge.
And so the Shaykh said, here Allah commands the Messenger of Allah to call the people to Allah's path and to take up the obligation of da'wah. And that this da'wah isn't just calling to Allah and that's it, but it is upon knowledge of the deen and understanding of this religion. And also the verse says that the Prophet ﷺ called to Allah and those who follow me. So this is not just for the Prophet, for the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, but for those who follow the Prophet ﷺ and also upon knowledge. And then the Shaykh said, who are those in this verse who are the followers or adherers of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ? And he said that these are none other than the scholars, the people of knowledge. And this is due to another hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, the inheritors of the Prophet are the scholars. And that the Prophet do not leave behind his inheritance any dirham or dinar, no money or currency or worldly things. And that they leave behind them for inheritance only knowledge. And that whosoever acquires this knowledge has inherited something very great.
أي أنهم يربون الناس الذين استجابوا للدعوة على الإسلام، تربية على الإسلام. الدليل قول الله سبحانه وتعالى ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتابة وبما كنتم تدرسون. بما كنتم تدرسون أي بما كنتم تتعلمون، فهم تعلموا وهم يعلمون. بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب فهم تعلموا وعلموا، والذي يتعلم ويعلم الناس أي يدعو الناس يربيهم، لأن الربان نسبة إلى الرب، والرب تبارك وتعالى هو الذي يربي الناس، والذي يربي الناس. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس، فهو ربهم أي يربيهم. إذن العالم الرباني هو الذي يربي الناس.
Third characteristic of the scholars is that they give a tarbiyah, and this can be loosely translated as educating and training the Muslims and cultivating them in their deen. So that is, they take up this responsibility of educating and cultivating and preparing the people, that is those who have responded to their da'wah and come into Islam. And Allah has said in the Quran, a very rough translation going as, but be Rabbaniyun in that which you teach of the book, i.e. the Quran, and in that which you study and learn. Allah is telling them to educate the people according to the way that Allah gives in Islam, and to learn and teach in this manner. And then he also mentioned a point which I didn't fully understand, but he mentioned that Rabbaniyun is related to the word Rabb, which is to do with Lord, Allah, where Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, that say, I seek refuge in Allah, the Lord of mankind. And this is the relation here to Rabb, is that Allah is the one who is the true Lord of everything, and He has given the deen, which gives the proper manner for educating and cultivating the people. So then he says that, therefore, the third characteristic of the people of knowledge is that they, that is an Alim Rabbani, is a scholar who learns the deen and then he teaches and educates the people upon that in the manner which Allah has given.
على ماذا يربي العلماء الناس وكيف يربون العلماء الناس؟ نرجع إلى تعريف السلف الصالح أهل العلم إلى الرباني. من هو الرباني؟ ورد في البخاري في تفسير كلمة الرباني قال: الذي يربي الناس على صغار العلم قبل كباره. أي العالم الرباني هو الذي يربي الناس على صغار العلم، على مسائل الصغيرة قبل كباره، أي يربيهم بالتدرج من الصغير إلى الكبير، من السهل إلى الصعب، مما يطيقون إلى ما لا يطيقون. تدرج، أي يتدرج في تربية الناس. وقال آخر: الرباني ربانيون هم العلماء الحكماء. العلماء الحكماء. وما هي الحكمة؟ الحكمة هي أن تضع الشيء في محله. إذن الرباني هو الذي يضع الشيء في محله. لذلك يكون الرباني هو الذي يربي الناس بالتدرج ويضع كل شيء في محله حسب شرع الله سبحانه وتعالى.
Here we stop and ask a question concerning the training and educating of the people that the scholars should do, and that is, upon what should the scholars educate and cultivate the people, or how should they do this? He says that to learn more about this, we can return to the history of our Salaf, our pious predecessors. And he says that Bukhari, in giving an explanation of this word Rabbani, he says that if he's teaching the people, and that scholar who is upon this is teaching, is one who teaches the people the knowledge which is more basic and easier before that which becomes more difficult and more in depth. And so, in other words, he teaches them the easier things before the hard things. And something that the Sheikh mentioned yesterday, the day before, not just now, he gave an example like when you teach children in school, say mathematics. You teach them basic of addition and subtraction before you go on to something like calculus. So, this Rabbani is teaching people in stages. He also said another explanation given by the early scholars of this word Rabbani is that they are the scholars of wisdom, which is hikmah. And he said, what is hikmah? Although we usually say wisdom, in Arabic language, the meaning of hikmah is that of putting everything in its correct place and correct context. And so, the righteous scholar, or the scholar who educates and cultivates the people, he gives the education in a correct manner, putting everything in its proper place, teaching people in the right stages, their levels of iman, giving the primary knowledge, more important things before the more difficult things, explaining the easier things before that which requires more study in depth. And that he does all of this according to the Sharia of Allah. So it is now the time of Maghrib has come, so we'll take a break here for Salatul Maghrib. If the sisters, if the brothers can remain in this room so that the sisters can go through to make wudu and try to be back within 5 or 10 minutes. After that, the brothers can go ahead and make wudu. The dars will continue inshallah after Salah, the latter part of it, and then opportunity for question and answers before Salah to Isha.
شؤون الناس شؤون الأمة أنهم يرعون شؤون الناس وشؤون الأمة. والدليل على هذا قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: كانت بني إسرائيل تسوسهم الأنبياء، كلما هلك نبي خلفه نبي، وإنه لا نبي بعد. إذن بني إسرائيل كانت كتبه الأنبياء مو مع السياسة أي ترعى شؤونهم وتدبر أمرهم الأنبياء. لكن هذه الأمة ليس فيها أنبياء بعد محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ما هو نبي بعد محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ إذا من يرعى شؤون الأمة؟ الرابعة هي أن العلماء الربانيين يسوسون ويرعون ويتدبرون شؤون الأمة. معنى قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت بني إسرائيل فسوسهم الأنبياء أن بني إسرائيل كان الذي يتولى تدمير شؤونهم ويصرف أمورهم الأنبياء. كلما مات نبي جاء بعده نبي. أن هذه الأمة فليس هناك أنبياء بعد محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. من الذي يدبر شؤون الناس المسلمين؟ العلماء، لأنهم هم عرفة الأنبياء.
We mentioned three characteristics of the people of knowledge, and the fourth characteristic is that the scholars, they are the ones who have concern for the affairs of the ummah and for the affairs of the people in general, and that they look over the affairs of the ummah with deep concern. And he gave as a proof for this a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which I won't translate but give the rough meaning of, is that concerning the Bani Israel, that the prophets are the ones who used to take charge of the affairs and overlook all of the affairs. And so, since it was all entrusted upon them, such that when one prophet would die, then another one would be sent to them. However, for this ummah of the Muslims, that the Prophet said that there is no Nabi, no prophet after him. So we do not have, after the death of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any more prophets to come to overlook our affairs. So who then are the ones who will look over the affairs of this ummah with great concern and fikr? And it is, of course, the inheritors of the prophets who are the people of knowledge.
والذب عن الإسلام والدفاع عن السنة. الدليل قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحمل هذا العلم الذي سبق تعريفه. تذكروا تعريف العلم كما قدمنا، يحمل هذا العلم من كل خلق عدوله. الأعدل الناس وأوسط الناس يحمله وهم العلماء. ماذا يفعلون؟ يمكون عنه تأمير الجاهلين وتحريف الغالين وانتحال المبطلين. ما هي وظيفتهم هؤلاء؟ ما هي صفتهم؟ يدافعون عن الشريعة ويحمون الدين ويردون كيد المتبعة ويصفون سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The fifth characteristic of the scholars is that they protect this religion, this deen and this ummah from the people of innovation and people of misguidance. So they guard and protect this religion from all falsehoods and all innovations which the enemies of Islam or which deviated people try to put into it. And then he mentioned a hadith whereby the Prophet ﷺ said that this knowledge will be carried
which will be carried and held up by the scholars, by the people of knowledge. Yeah, so the hadith says that this knowledge, very briefly again, and maybe later on for those who want specific references they can ask the Sheikh, but roughly the hadith that this knowledge will be carried forward and held steadfast by the people of knowledge, the scholars, who will correct the people from, who will correct the misinterpretations of the people who misinterpret, and from the innovations of the innovators, and from the corruptions of the people who corrupt. And that in this hadith, when it says this knowledge will be carried by the scholars, the word ilm is used, and that to understand what is meant by this ilm, we should refer back to the earlier part of this lecture when the Sheikh explained to us what is the meaning of knowledge in reference to aqidah, etc.
نقول ما هو واجبنا نحو العلماء؟ نقص واجب الأمة نحو العلماء. أولا الطاعة، والدليل قول الله سبحانه وتعالى: وأطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. وأولي الأمر منكم، قال ابن عباس: أولي الأمر هم الأمراء والعلماء. إذن فالعلماء هم من أولي الأمر الذي يجب أن نطيعهم ما لم يخطئوا أو يأمروا بخلاف الشرع. وعلى هذا التفسير جمهور أهل التفسير. الأمر الثاني التقدير، أن نقدرهم الدليل الحديث الذي أخرجه الإمام أحمد بإسناد جيد: ليس منا من لم يرحم صغيرنا ويوقر كبيرنا ويعرف لعالمنا حقه إذن فطلاب العلم يقدرون العلماء، وقد انحرف عن هذا المنهج صنفان سأبينهما إن شاء الله.
The first one went on to say that having recognized the characteristics of the scholars, what characteristics people of knowledge have, and having appreciated the value of the knowledge which they carry. So then once we know who they are, based upon this, then the next question is, what is the obligation upon us with regard to the scholars, with regard to the people of knowledge? What are their rights over us? And the first thing he said is obedience, that we must obey them. Due to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a rough translation, obey Allah and obey His Messenger and those who are in charge of your affairs, or entrusted with your affairs. And then he said that Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them both, Ibn Abbas explained the meaning of those in charge of your affairs as being the leaders or the amirs, and secondly the scholars. And so we must obey the scholars in all affairs, except anything which requires us to go against the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the second obligation upon us towards the scholars is that we raise their status, or we recognize their respect, give them their due respect. And this is due to a hadith whose isnad is jayyid, which is good, and narrated by Imam Ahmad, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is not from among us the one who is not merciful to the young ones from among us, and who is not kind and respectful or dutiful to our elder ones, and who does not give the due right to the scholars.
قد انحرف عن هذا المنهج أي التقدير تقدير العلماء ثنتان من الناس ثنتان غرى في العلماء حتى أثر به الحد إلى التقدير وأنزل أقوالهم منزلة النصوص الشرعية نصوص الكتاب ونصوص السنة بل إنه إذا صار تعارض بين نص من الكتاب أو نص من السنة قدم قول العالم والعلماء على كتاب الله وعلى سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهذا واضح عند أتباع المذاهب والمقلدة والذين يقدسون الأولياء والشيوخ وغيرهم من المتصوفة وغيرهم إذا قلت له قال الله يجيب قال أبو حنيفة قال رسول الله قال الإمام مالك قال ابن عباس قال الشافعي هذا كتاب الله هذه سنة رسول الله هل يقع السلف يقول لك نحن لا نفقهها المشايخ الذين يفقهونها وهم مأمورون بذلك حتى بلغ
With regard to the second rights of the scholars or our duty towards them, which is holding them in respect, he says that the people have deviated from this in two ways. The first type are those who have raised the status of the scholars to such a level that they almost end up, or they do end up, deifying them. And this is by putting their sayings over and above the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that if you were to say to them that Allah says or that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says such and such and it's authentic, they will reply that Abu Hanifa says, or they will reply that Imam Malik says. Or if you were to say Ibn Abbas says such and such, they will say that Imam Shafi says. And so he's giving an example. One of the examples like the madhabs which develop and people's blind following of these madhabs, so that they take the sayings of these early scholars over and above a clear text or authentic saying of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where they put the understanding of these verses of the scholars, who of course the great scholars, that they put them over and above the understanding of even the Sahaba.
يقول حتى بلغ الأمر بأحدهم أحد علماء الحناف ويسمى الكرخي قال كلمة عظيمة خطيئة عند الله سبحانه وتعالى قال كل آية وكل حديث ليس علي أصحابنا فهو مؤول أو منسوخ كأن التعصب كل آية أو كل حديث ليس عليه أصحابنا أي لا يقول به أصحابنا من الحنفية فهو مؤول يعني معناه واضح أو منسوخ أو منسوخ أو من غير معمول به
Just to elaborate on this point that he made, he gives the example of one of the people from among the Hanafiya scholars of Madhab, known as Al-Karakhi. And he said, he gives one of his sayings, which he says is a very dangerous or very evil or bad saying, whereby he says that every verse, i.e. from the Quran, or every hadith of the Prophet which is not according to something which our people are upon or our companions, meaning the position of the Hanafi madhab. If any verse or hadith seems to go against the position of the Hanafi madhab, then that verse or hadith is either incorrect in its meaning or it has been abrogated.
هؤلاء هم المقلدة المتعصبة الغلاة. ولذلك أجمع أهل العلم كما قال ابن عبد البر كتابه جامع بيان العلم فضله أن المقلد لا يعد من زمرة العلماء. المقلدين أصحاب المذاهب ليسوا علماء وليسوا من العلماء في شيء. وأن المقلد لا ينصب مفتيا ولا يعين قاضيا ولا يجوز له أن يفتيه بأقوال الرجال.
So blind followers of these kinds, those who go to extremes in their blind following of people, he says concerning them that the scholars, the people of knowledge have agreed, the people of knowledge of this ummah have agreed that, and he gives the saying of one of the early scholars, Ibn Abdul Bar, that they have agreed, the people of knowledge, that the one who makes blind following cannot be considered a scholar in any way at all. We cannot classify them or consider them to be a scholar, nor can they be considered to be a mufti, somebody who is qualified to give rulings, nor are they qualified or can they be considered to be judges, to act as judges in Muslim lands, etc., and that they are not allowed to take up the position of giving rulings in Islam.
The name of the book, the second makes the name of the book.
جامع بيان العلم وفضله. الصنف الثاني الذين انحرفوا عن الطريق تقدير العلماء كان الأول التقدير، قدسوهم حتى عبدوهم من دون الله. القسم الثاني الجفاة الذين انحرفوا وطعنوا في العلماء. الذين طعنوا الجفاة وهم جفوا العلماء، سعدوا عنهم، طعنوا في العلماء ولم يتركوا عالم من شرهم، ووصفوهم بأوصاف خبيثة مثل علماء السوء، علماء السلاطين، علماء الكتب، علماء الحيد والنفاق إلى غيره. وهؤلاء يتبعون سلفهم من الخوارج والمعتزلة. سلف هؤلاء الذين طعنوا في العلماء هم الخوارج والمعتزلة. الخوارج قال عن علماء الصحابة، قالوا هم رجال ونحن رجال، هم رجال ونحن رجال. وهؤلاء قالوا مثلهم، من فلان، من علام، من العالم الفلاني، رجل نحن نستعد مثل ما يستعد، هم رجال ونحن رجال. وقال في المعتزلة في الطعن في أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كان واصل بن عطاء مؤسس المعتزلة عليه من الله ما يستحق، كان يقول في الزبير وطلحة وعلي وهم من الصحابة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، لو شهد طلحة والزبير وعلي على باقة بقل، على ضمة خدار، خدار باقة يعني ضمة خدار، الخضروات كيف يخذر ضمن هذا، أيوه، لو شهدوا على باقة بقل أهلا ما قبلت شهادتهما، ما قبلت شهادتهما. وكان عمرو بن عبيد وهو الرجل الثاني من المعتزلة يقول عن أصحاب الرسول، عمرو بن عبيد فنقول عن الصحابة المعروفين أموات غير أحياء، أن هؤلاء الناس أموات غير أحياء.
Sir, you mentioned that the first type of people who deviated away with regard to the type of respect we should show to the scholars were those who went to the extent where they start to almost deify them and put their sayings over and above the saying of the Prophet and his companions, may Allah be pleased with them all. So the second group of people are those who went to the other extreme and they started to insult, abuse and attack. They insult, abuse and attack the scholars of Islam. And he says that they describe them with terms which are very filthy and evil. For example, they might call them scholars of books, meaning that they're just theoretical, you know. Or ulama too, that they are evil scholars, scholars of evil, or that they're scholars of the false gods, etc. And he says that these people of today who go around doing like this, they follow the example of their predecessors from among the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, which are two sects in the early times who deviated away from Ahl Sunnah. The Khawarij, they said concerning the companions of the Prophet ﷺ that they are men and we are also men, meaning that why should we take their interpretations or understanding when they are men just like us. And he says, the Shaykh, that people today say the same thing about the scholars of today, that they are also men and we are men, why should we take their judgment. And the Mu'tazila, one of the founders and leaders, Wasil ibn Atta, one of the leaders of the Mu'tazila, he said concerning Az-Zubayr, Talha and Ali, may Allah be pleased with them all, three of the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ, he said that if they were to there's one thing which we can't fully make out, but I'll try to give the rough meaning, is that one of the leaders of the Mu'tazila, where what he's doing is discrediting his great companions. He says that if they were to testify concerning a certain type of vegetable, that we would not accept the testification. And I think the meaning is either one or two, or later on this will be checked out, that if they were to swear or testify by these vegetables, we still wouldn't accept their testification. One or the other one, that if they were to testify to the goodness of these vegetables, we still wouldn't accept from them. This is what I think the meaning is, but inshallah I hope that if you take the tape, you go to people more learned in Arabic and get that clarified. But anyway, there's a second saying from another one of the leaders of the Mu'tazila, Amr ibn Ubayd, who said that concerning the companions, he said that they are people who are dead and who are not alive. So in other words, you know, they have passed away with Sahaba, so why are we talking about them or taking from them when they are people who are not alive? And that one I know the meaning well, so we can take from that.
بهذا يتبين أحبائي أننا يجب أن نقدر العلماء لا نقدسهم ولا نطعن بهم تباعا لقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن نعرف حقوق العلماء ونقدرهم. الصفة الثالثة التي يجب أن تكون فينا للعلماء الاستغفار لهم وإعذار من أخطأ منهم. أما الاستغفار فلقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فقول الله سبحانه وتعالى الذين يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا. هم بالنسبة للسابقين يستغفرون لهم، وبالنسبة للمعاصرين ليس في قلوبهم شحناء وبغضاء عليهم. الذين يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا. أما الإعذار فقد قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا اجتهد الحاكم فأخطأ فأصاب فله أجرين، له أجران، وإن أصاب وأخطأ فله أجر. إذن فالعالم دائر عمله بين الأجر والأجرين. فإذا أعذره الله وأعذره رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على خطأه، ألا يجب علينا أن نعذر العلم والعلماء؟ طبعا
So the Shaykh said it is obligatory upon us then for what we've discussed to respect and honor the people of knowledge and not to go to either of the two extremes by verifying them or by starting to slander and curse them. Then he said the third thing which is obligatory upon us with regard to the scholars is that we should ask Allah forgiveness for them and that we should overlook their faults. And that there is a verse in the Quran which roughly translates where Allah says that concerning the believers there are those who they say, "Oh Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers from those who preceded us in Iman, and do not put any type of hatred or dislike for them in our hearts." So the Shaykh explains that this is the way of the believers, that they seek Allah's forgiveness for themselves and for their Muslim brothers, for those who preceded them, those before us. And that the leaders of the people of knowledge are of course the prophets and then the scholars, so they have most right to be seeking Allah's forgiveness for them. And that concerning overlooking their faults, he mentioned the hadith in which the Prophet said concerning the alim, the scholar who makes ijtihad, who comes to make an Islamic ruling looking at the text of the Quran and Sunnah, that if he is correct then for him is two rewards, and that if he is incorrect then for him is one reward. So he says, look at this, that Allah and His Messenger have explained that even if the person is incorrect, Allah is rewarding him and Allah and His Messenger pleased with that person. So if the person is being rewarded for this ijtihad, then how can we hold them in a bad way, but rather we should overlook their faults.
والجملة الأخيرة التي أختم بها المجلس إن شاء الله، هل يخلو الزمان من عالم؟ أي هل يأتي على الناس زمان ليس عندهم علماء؟ الجواب أن الزمان لا يخلو من عالم، وأن الأمة لا يزال فيها العلم حتى تكون الساعة. والدليل على هذا حديثان. الحديث الأول قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خالفهم ولا من قبلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم على ذلك. وهذه الطائفة بإجماع العلماء أنها أهل العلم، فهذه الطائفة موجودة إلى قيام الساعة حتى يأتي أمر الله. ولذلك الذي يقول لا يوجد علماء في الأمة هذا جاهل، قوله مردود عليه بنص الحديث النبوي. الأمر الآخر أن فقدان العلماء يعني ضلال الأمة، فقدان العلماء يعني ضلال الأمة، وهذا محارم على أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقدان العلماء يؤدي إلى ضلال الأمة، وهذا لأن الأمة لا تجتمع على ضلالة. قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الذي أخرجه الشيخان: إن الله لا ينتزع العلم من صدور الناس ولكن بفضل العلماء حتى إذا لم يبق عالم اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا. إذن إذا انقلب الله العلماء ولم يبقى في العلماء أحد على وجه الأرض صار الناس إلى اتخاذ رؤوس جهال فسئلوا فأفتاهم بغير علم فعندئذ يقع الضلال والعياذ بالله. لكن هذا لا يكون إلا على القوم الذي يرفع من وسطه القرآن وهذا قبيل الساعة وهي لا تكون إلا على شرار الخلق على شرار الخلق نعوذ بالله من كل سوء. هذا
the last point we would like to mention to finish this lecture for today, and it's the question the Sheikh puts to us, is that has there ever passed or come across mankind or the Muslims a period of time when there are no scholars whatsoever? And he says this is not so, that the Ummah will always have people of knowledge remaining within it right until the hour is established. And this is due to one, a well-known hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, whereby he says that my Ummah will not cease to be upon the truth clearly upon the truth, not being harmed by those who are against them. I think most of you know the hadith well, but the rough meaning, and they remain firm upon that until the hour, until Allah's rule or His affair comes. And so he says that the people of knowledge are in agreement that this group or this ta'if who will always be remaining clear upon the truth, that these are the Ahlul Ilm, these are the scholars, the people of knowledge. That's what this hadith refers to. So they will always be people of knowledge within this Ummah. And then secondly, he says that if there are no scholars around, or if we lose the people of knowledge, then this will lead to the Ummah being misguided. And he said that this Ummah is forbidden from that, in that it cannot unite upon misguidance and error. And also he mentioned that another hadith in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants to remove knowledge from the people, He doesn't take it away from them or from their hearts. So what He does, He removes the knowledge by taking away the scholars from us. And then the people will turn to the ignorant ones and take them to be the leaders who will give them really whatever, and the Ummah will be misguided through that. However, although this seems to suggest that the scholars will be taken away, the meaning is that he said this situation will not happen except until the Quran, or the knowledge of the Quran, is taken away from the people completely, and this is something which refers to when the hour is about to be established. And we finish there.
أرجو الله سبحانه وتعالى أن نكون قد بينا في هذه الكلمة الوجيزة من هم العلماء الذين تسعد بهم أمة الإسلام والذين يجب علينا أن نواليهم وأن نقدرهم وأن نعذرهم في أخطائهم، لأنهم هم حماة الإسلام وهم الذين يدعون إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى على وسائل الأمر من أمرهم، وهم الذين إذا فقدتهم الأمة عياذا بالله، ونرجو الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يحفظهم إذا فقدتهم الأمة، فعلى أمة الإسلام السلام. نرجو الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يكون من الذين لا يغلون في العلماء، ومن الذين لا يجفون العلماء، الذين لا يقدسونهم، والذين لا يبخسونهم حقهم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
This is something the Sheikh makes dua for us all, and that he asks Allah to benefit us from the knowledge which we have discussed today, and that he asks us to give the respect and honor and duties to the people of knowledge,
and that the ones to whom the affairs of this ummah will be set aright, and that he prays that we will not be that we will give them the due rights, not be among those who go to either of the extremes, those who start to deify them, or those who go to the extreme of slandering and abusing and rejecting them. And he gives his salam and mercy upon all the brothers and sisters here. We start now with question and answer. So as normal, if the sisters have any questions, if they can put them in writing, and a brother will come round. If they stick them under the door, a brother will come to collect them. And if brothers have any questions, if they can raise their hands, and inshallah we'll try to give everyone a fair turn. Brother's question is that given in England we don't really have many scholars around, who do we take our rulings from?
هذا الأخ يسأل يقول هذه الولايات تفتقر إلى العلماء الحقيقيين أما الأدعياء فهم كثيرون يكون هو العلماء قليل لكن أدعاء العلم كثير فننصح أخواننا أن يستقدم العلماء على مدار العام يكون عندهم لقاءات علمية على مدار العام يستقدم العلماء وأن يتصلوا بالعلماء فالآن كما يقول أهل العصر يقولون أن العالم قرية صغيرة لأن التفصيلات واضح.
The first replied that the question was related to we live in a land in which scholars are few and the callers to knowledge are many, so you know, what should we do? He said that one sticks to the few reliable people of knowledge that you have available here, and that secondly, we live in a day and age where communications are more easier, so we should telephone, we can use telephone and call the people of knowledge in different parts of the Muslim world to gain understanding of rulings and any questions you have. The question from the brother is that some people say that there is a difference between al-firqatul najihah, the same sect, and al-ta'if al-mansura, which is the victorious group. And they say that al-ta'if al-mansura, the victorious group, refers to those who are upon the sunnah and who also established the jihad. So is this something which is from our people of knowledge of the past or something new?
الجواب أنه لا يوجد فرق بين الطائفة المنصورة والفرقة الناجية وهذه تفريق غير صحيح ويراد منه تمييع مسألة الفرقة الناجية والطائفة المنصورة وقد نص الإمام الآجري وابن رجب الحنبلي وابن تيمية رحمه الله وغيرهم أنه لا فرق بين الطائفة المنصورة وبين الفرقة الناجية ولا فرق بينهم وبين الغرباء، هم الغرباء وهم الطائفة المنصورة وهم الفرقة الناجية، كلهم شيء واحد، مسمى لشيء واحد، ولكن هذه الأسماء كل يصف حالة من حالاتهم. فهم الفرقة النامرة من نبي من ماذا؟ نبي من النار، كما جاء في الحديث كلها في النار إلا واحدة، فهي فرقة نادية لماذا؟ لأنها نجت من النار، وهي الطائفة المنصورة لأنها ظاهرة على الحق، على حق الكتاب والسنة ظاهرة منصورة بالحق، وهم الغرباء لأنهم قلة في المجتمع. لا فرق بين هؤلاء جميعا، وهذا التفريق خطأ. أنا أقول أن أقل يعني كلمة تقال فيه أنه خطأ. نعم.
The first answer to this question is that there is no difference at all between Al-Firqatul Najihah and Al-Fa'iful Mansura, and that this saying that there is a difference is incorrect. And it says that if we look to the books of Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali and Ibn Taymiyyah Rahimahullah and Imam Ajuri, they state in these books that there is no difference between them. And he says also there is no difference between these two and also the Al-Ghuraba, the strangers. And he says these are all different names for one and the same thing, and that the names have come up in different places in relation to different hadith. And this is more clearly understood by example, whereby Al-Firqatul Najihah in the same text comes from the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ had said that this Ma'ummah was split into 73 different sects or groups, all of them in the fire except one. And that is therefore the Firqatul Najihah, is that one same sect. And that's where the term comes from. And as for Al-Fa'if al-Mansura, is in relation to the hadith that was mentioned earlier, that there will not cease to be a group from among my ummah, Fa'ifah, who are zahirina al-haq, who are, you know, apparently and clearly on the haq. So they are the victorious group, and this is where this term comes from. And likewise, the hadith concerning the ghuraba, the strangers, because the people upon this correct way will be, are only a few, and so they are the strangers. So they're all terms for one and the same thing, and there is no difference between them. Question from the brother. What advice does the Sheikh give to Muslim brothers and sisters who enter the deen, come into the deen, and then they encounter a whole group of different sects and groups among the Muslims who have their own sects of scholars and leaders and become confused by this? So what does the Sheikh advise them?
الفرق والخطاء الكثيرة عند المسلمين مثلهم بتحريض الجهاد والتبليغ هكذا، فكيف تنفع هؤلاء الذين أسلموا جديدا؟
يسأل عن نصيحة ويسأل نصيحة للمسلمين الجدد الذين دخلوا في الإسلام فوجدوا أن المسلمين مختلفون أحزاب كثيرة، فماذا ننصح لهم؟ ننصح لهم ولغيرهم للجدد والقدامى أن يعتزلوا تلك الفرق جميعها، أن يعتزلوا تلك الفرق جميعها، وأن يهتموا بطلب العلم، وأن يقرأوا كتب العلماء الربانيين كأمثال كتب شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية وابن القيم رحمه الله، وكتب العلماء المعاصرين من أهل السنة والجماعة ككتب الشيخ ابن باز والشيخ محمد بن عثيمين والشيخ المحدث العلامة شيخنا ناصر الدين الألباني وغيرهم من أهل السنة والجماعة، وألا يلتفتوا بأقوال الذين لا يعلمون.
In response to this question, for those who are new to Islam, who enter the deen and find much difference among the Muslims and many different groups, the Sheikh advises such people, he says, this advice is both to them and to others, not just for those who are new in the deen, but those who are also old and who face the situation, is to stay away from all of these differences and all of the groups and factions.